Good morning. Today's daf of Metzia is Ches. We are on Zayin Amud Beis. We're starting somewhere in the middle of the Amud, right about the middle, and Shaim Shochsim. So the Mishnah already started with the discussion of two people holding on to a talis. So now this is our second week of discussing this topic. So Shaim Shochsim. So the din is Yachlok, Yachlok b'Shvua. Good. That's a synopsis of the last week of Gemara. Okay, Mazel Tov. But now, yesterday, we moved the discussion to not Shaim Ochsim Batalos, but rather Shaim Ochsim Bishtar. Okay, so you have a Malva Lova, the lender and borrower, and what they're doing now is that they're going into the Beis Din, each one of them having a hand on the actual note, on the actual loan document. And so each one claiming that it's theirs. Now the Malva saying it's his, meaning I haven't collected yet. So could you please let go and let me have it so I can go ahead and demand the money from you? And the Lova's counter-argument is, no, I already paid you back. You lent me the money, thank you very much. I already paid you back, you're welcome. And what you did is you handed back the loan document to me. Now, what he should have done immediately is he should have destroyed it. Yeah. Okay, but notwithstanding. In other words, but that's the claim of the Lova. So now we have two claims, but countered by, supported by the fact that each one's holding on to the loan document. So what do we do? So yesterday, we fought about what to do, which is, you know, generally speaking, how things work here in the world of the Daf. So we had Shitas Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel. So we're going to be discussing it for a good part of today's Daf. Half of today's Daf, we're going to continue discussing this topic of Shtaim Shochsim Bishtar. That'll be Ches. That'll be yesterday and today. Ches Amud Aleph. And then Ches Amud Beis, we move on to discuss another really big idea. But I'll preview when we get there. So anyway, so what we were doing is that we were discussing the following, and that is Choshesh L'Piron and Choshesh L'Piron. Meaning, if let's say it's found by a third party, this is what we continued discussing yesterday, and we're just finishing up this topic right now. So it's not found by the Malva, it's not found by the Lova, but the Shtar is found by a third party. So what do we do with it? So who do we return it to? Do we return it to the Malva? Do we return it to the Lova? So the analysis is really simple. And that is that is there a chance that maybe the Malva was already given the money, and then he handed back the shtar to the Lova, and then it was lost. It's like, would that happen? Is that a plausible explanation of what just happened? So what we saw yesterday is that too, maybe a machlokus between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim. In other words, are we choshishin l'piron, or we ain't choshishin l'piron? That's the Gemara of yesterday. Now, what we dealt with yesterday is that we had to steer within the sheet of the Rav Yossi. So we have three approaches of how to deal with that stira within the sheet of Rav Yossi. Yesterday we did approach number one. Approach number one is just simply to modify and adjust the brisa, where the brisa is not really the brisa. I'm not going to go over the brisa again from yesterday. Please go back to yesterday. See the brisa. See our adjustment of yesterday's brisa. That was approach number one. That was one way to resolve it. Okay, and Rav Papa. So we're going to pick it up awkwardly right now with approach number two. Okay, so again, if you want to see the prices, go back over yesterday, and you want to see approach number one, again, do chazor in yesterday's daf. We're going straight to approach number two. Rav Papa amar lo lam lo tepach. So Rav Papa says, nope, don't adjust the brisa, and I'll tell you how to be a miyashe of Rav Yossi. Really, Rav Yossi l'divrechem d'rabban kamar lehu. Rav Yossi was saying the following, and that is that I'm arguing with you, the chachamim, on your terms, not on my terms. Meaning, I know you don't side with me. This is a common way that the Gemara goes ahead and analyzes brisas. I know you don't side with me, and I know you're not taking my position. Good. I got that. But Lidi Diafil Nisarmel Nisgarshan Amelo Chayshinan Lipiron. Look, my position is that I'm not worried about Piron. Meaning, a third party finds a star, picks it up, you give it back to the Malva. It's really that simple. Right? You're worried about them being paid back? No. I myself, Rav Yossi, says I'm never worried about that. My general assumption, says Rav Yossi, I'm just fleshing it out a little bit better, explaining it just a little bit better, is that in the event that there's ever a payout, so what the Lova is going to do immediately upon receiving the note is he's going to destroy it. The fact that the note has existed and somebody lost it, Rav Yossi says, my inclination is always to return it back to the Malva. Good. That's me. But and I know you're not with me on that. But at least give me the following. So why wouldn't you admit that, in other words, we have a ksuva that's lost. Remember, in the world of ksuva, she's the malva. She's owed the money. So why can't you at least give me the following? And that is that the ksuva was lost, and now what happened is that it was found, and they're married, they're living together. Isn't it the most reasonable thing to say that it belongs to her not and not to him? Like, can't you at least give me that? Amrle Rabbanan, Emor Tzori Atvasa. And the Chachamim will say, no, I'm not going to give you that. In other words, it could be that he prepaid. Right, Tzori Atvasa, we saw that a number of times in Ksuvos, and that is that what he's going to do is basically he's going to secure, put a bag of money together, right, a collection of fund, right, an account if you want, and he'll put the money in her account, he'll give her the bag of money, and he'll say, look, in other words, hang on to this, that'll be the payment to the ksuva. And it could be that he already prepaid the ksuva. I know that's a little bit strange, and I guess Rav Yossi, if he would count it, he would say that's really strange, and people don't typically do that, but the Chachamim said it is possible, and therefore we put that out there as a concern. Okay, good. Number three. Ravina Amar lo la mei po kamaisa, v'tamid rabba nach mishum d'chayshin l'shtei ksuvos. So what we're going to do, says Ravina, is that we're not going to touch the first brisa. It's really Rav Yossi is worried about Piron, and it's not the Chachamim who's worried about the Piron. And time of the Rabbanan Hacha, now as far as the Chachamim over here is concerned, Mishum Cheshin L'Shtei Ksuvos. So what we're worried about is that they lost a Ksuva, and what do they do? He writes a new Ksuva, and he gives her now another Ksuva. And so now what happens is that if you go ahead now and return the Ksuva to her, she'll be holding not one now, but two Ksuvas. God bless her. God bless her. And so that's a concern. And Rav Yossi, L'Shtei Ksuvos, L'Shtei Cheshinan. And Rav Yossi will just simply counter and say, I don't know why you're concerned about that. Meaning he will not immediately react by writing her a new ksuva. In other words, what they're going to do first and foremost is desperately look for the old ksuva that clearly was lost. And he's not going to write her a new ksuva. And Rav Yossi says, I wouldn't be worried about that. Okay, good. Ad kan. It takes us to the end of yesterday's daf. I know we're not finished with yesterday's daf, but that is whether or not we're choshes l'piron or we're not. So it got complicated. The idea itself is not complicated. But in terms of being miyashev, the shitas of Rav Yossi and the Chachamim and the Breitzas, and what does Rav Yossi really hold, and the fact there's a stira within the shita of Rav Yossi, that part was complicated. But the rest of it is really straightforward. It's just a simple question of, are we worried that that a note that's outstanding, and in this case found by a third party, are we worried that maybe the storyline is the loan was paid and it was lost by the borrower, not the lender? And are we worried about Piron? Are we not worried about Piron? That's it. I'm a Rebbe Lazar. Okay, we continue now our discussion of going ahead and two people walking in holding the note. We're back to our discussion over there. And over here comes into the court the Malva and the Lova, each one with a hand on the note. And what's the din according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel? Yach loku. The note is going to be split. Now, obviously, by the way, the Gemara is going to make this point really clear. I'm sure everyone understands this. And that is that we're not going to rip the paper into two and say, here, you take half and you take half. But it just simply means that the value of the note, what we're going to do is we're going to divide in two. And the borrower is now not going to pay the full face value of the loan, but half the face value of the loan. That's yach loku according to the Rashbag. I'm a Rebbe Lazar. Now, Rebbe Lazar is an Amora. And he says, I would assume if it's like our Mishnah, then I would assume yes. I'm a Rebbe Lazar, Machlokes B'Shishneim, Adukim B'Tofes U'Shem B'Tarif. This idea of the Rashbag, this is Rebbe Elazar, the Amora, now making the following note on Rashbag. And that is, everything has to be equal. They're either holding onto the Tofes or they're holding onto the Tarif. Okay, a little bit of contract law, shall we? And that is that how do you write a note? How do you write a loan document? So in modern terminology, what you do is you go to a lawyer. He'll draft it for you. Or you go online. So you could do that as well. Ask ChatGPT. So anyway, but back in the obviously we're learning Gemara. We need to know how it used to be done back in the good old days. So you had a Tofes and you had a Tarif. What's Tofes? So Tofes is a standard wording that would have been written for any lender, okay? And then the Taref is the personal information. In other words, then it's obviously the critical information for you to be able to collect your loan because it's going to identify who's the lender, who's the borrower, where the loan took place, and, right, terms, how much, right, when is it due? And here we get to the most critical piece of information, although everything I just mentioned is really critical. But you'll see why I'm going to put so much emphasis on this one. And date. Right? When did the loan originate? Good. So all this is what's called the Toreif. So basically what happens is that if you go to your local sofer because you want, right, you want to borrow money in, so the lender says, okay, come here with the paperwork. So you're going to go to your local sofer. Your sofer already is prepared. So he already has the Toreif written out. And and now it's just a question of filling in the Toreif. So of the actual loan document, so which is more valuable? Now, I know that's kind of a funny question because I really need the whole loan document in order for it to work. I know, but I'm still going to ask the question and we're going to give an answer. Of the loan document, which is more valuable, the Toreif or the Toreif? So presumably the Toreif. And by the way, I'm giving away a little bit of the Gemara that we're going to see up ahead, and that is of the Toreif. What's the most important part of the Toreif? And that's going to be the date. That date is a kicker. Why is the date so important? Because that date creates a he knows. he's been here for a while. So the date creates a lien. In other words, if I have a loan document with all that personal information, who's the lender, who's the borrower, where, how much, when is it due? That's great. But if it doesn't have a date on it, so there's no lien that's created. Because at that point in time, you can't go to any buyer of the property and say, hey, I had a lien on that property. Oh, that's so interesting. When did the loan originate? Well, I'll tell you, I don't care what you tell me. Show me here. Where did the loan originate? Well, there's no date.
It can't be pre or post dated either, right?
There's no date, period. No date.
No, I'm saying once you put the date.
That's a different issue. Correct, but that's a different issue. I'm just simply talking about the significance of the date. Good. So b'shushim adukim b'tofes b'shushim b'toreif aval echad aduk b'tofes v'echad aduk b'toreif zenot tofes v'zenot toreif. So what if one's holding on to tofes, the other toreif? Again, tofes, standard text, and toreif is all that personal information. So if we have that, so one's going to be taking the tofes and the other's toreif. And Rav Yochanan amar lo lam chokim, and Rav Yochanan says we're going to divide it. At this point, just give me one moment. Let me just first be masbir the basic sugya, and then I'll pause. So at this point in time, what you're hearing right now is that we have a machlokas. That's what you're hearing, but the Gemara immediately is going to clarify. So the Gemara says, now what are you talking about? One's holding the tofes and one's holding the toreif. We have the following braisa. Zeno tola makam shiado magas. So I don't understand. Meaning, we already know. In other words, we already established it yesterday, the day before. We even said it very clearly in the Mishnah as well. We already know. What you're going to be getting is, in other words, what you're holding and I'm holding, what you and I are physically holding, that's off the table. That's not even open for, that's not open for Yachloku. I get that, you get that. And then whatever's not, the unheld portion, that's the part that we are dunning over, and that's the part that's going to get split. So the Gemara says, okay, so lo tzricha dekai Torah beimitzai. So the Gemara says that what we're describing over here is that the Toreif is right between the two. In other words, they're not actually holding on to the Toreif. And what the Gemara is saying, and this is Rashi's explanation, is that really the truth of the matter is that we are not having a machlokas over here between the Reb Elazar and Reb Yochanan. Right? Even though it sounds like that way, in other words, Reb Yochanan says, olam chokin, they're always dividing. No. What Reb Yochanan is just simply doing is he's describing a scenario where I'm holding one end, you're holding one in the other hand of the shtar. Where's the Toreif right now? In between. So we achimai lameimra. So the Gemara says, okay. So if that's what Rav Yochanan is describing, so isn't that obvious? So the Gemara says, no. Lo tzricha de mekarv l'gabe chad. Ma'u detema amr le plog hachi kamash malan ma'i chazat apaga hachi plog hachi. We made this point yesterday. We get to review the same point again today. The unheld portion of the shtar, or for that matter, anything that we're holding, right? Remember yesterday we talked about a gold strip running right through the garment. And that gold strip right now is all on my side, meaning my side, it's part of the unheld portion, but it's closer to my hand. Oh, so I get the gold. No, you don't get the gold. Divided. In other words, we divide it. Because when we are dividing now the unheld portion, you don't get to determine how we're going to cut it up. We're going to cut it up evenly, right? In other words, you don't have that executive privilege of, oh, it's closer to you, therefore you get it. Mm-hmm. Same thing true over here by the Toreif. Meaning if the Toreif is the unheld portion of the shtar, I'm holding a section, you're holding a section. So if it's the unheld portion, so now You don't say, oh, but yeah, but the Torah is closer to me. I get the Torah. No. It's the same like we discussed yesterday. So the Gemara says, okay. So now we have, it's not a machlokas. Rav Yochanan was describing where the turf is in the middle, and it doesn't matter closer to whom. Turf is going to get divided. I get it. But now let's go back to the first point of Rav Elazar. I'm holding the tofes, you're holding the torif. You get tofes, I get torif. Great. And now what? And now I'm holding a half of a piece of paper, and you're holding a half of a piece of paper. And litzura al pitzul chasu hutzarich. So back in the good old days, I'm saying paper, by the way. It's not a great visualization because it wasn't, in other words, we're talking about using it as a bottle stopper. So it's more like a cloth. In other words, So instead of using it now as paperwork, we're going to be using it as basically a bottle holder or a bottle sealer. And the Gemara is basically asking, oh, what are we talking about over here? I'm going to take half and you're going to take half. That sounds ridiculous. We're going to rip the sharp into two. At that point in time, it would be great to cap my bottle with it. But that's about all I can do with it. What good is it that I'm holding right now a half a piece of paper? So I'm Rolela Demei. So the Gemara says, yeah, you did make a really big misunderstanding. And that is, we're not going to physically divide the paper into two. In fact, when we say chokin, we don't mean that we're physically dividing it. Now, maybe for the last week, that's what you thought. And I'm not going to lie. Maybe I thought that way as well. But the Gemara right now is going to clarify, no, that's not what we mean. We mean it now is that we're going to be dividing value. And if you're holding Torif and I'm holding Toface, and since the Torif is more essential, so therefore what we're going to do now is that we're going to be dividing it, but now we're going to be dividing it not evenly. So Da'amar, Hachishar, Deis Beizman, Kamishave, Udales Beizman, Kamishave. Shabashari, Is Beizman, Gabe Mimishabdi, Vidachlo Gabe Mimishabdi, Avlei Hech, the Beinabeni. So the Gemara says like this, when one is holding the Torif and the other one's holding the Toface, we are not tearing it into two pieces, handing one to the other, one to one and one to the other. What we're doing, when we say divide, what we mean by that is divide the value of the loan. But if my hand right now is on the Torif, I'm holding more value. As the Gemara just got done saying, because the Torif has got the date, and the date is the lien. So in other words, we're talking now about the difference of a note with a lien versus a note without a lien. A note with a lien is more valuable. Now, I know you're going to expect me now to say how much more valuable. I'm going to punt on that one. I don't know how much more valuable. But it's more valuable. We're in agreement. I don't have numbers to provide for you in terms of how much more valuable. But the point is that the Gemara says is that because you're holding the tarif and because that tarif creates a lien, so therefore it's more valuable. So when we're dividing now, the holder of the tarif gets more value. Period. And the Gemara says, and now that we're here, now what we get to do is we get to go back to the beginning of the Masechta and we get to revisit the Yachloku Din that we've been discussing all along. Because now, basically, the Gemara has arrived at a eureka moment. And that is that when we say yachloka, we don't mean that we're physically dividing the item. What it means is that the item has a value, and we're going to be splitting the value. Okay. Now, I'm sure, by the way, it's still going to be a bit of an issue in terms of who gets the actual item and who gets half the value. Or maybe if we can't agree to that, maybe we'll just simply sell it, and we'll split the value. But in other words, splitting means splitting value. And the Gemara says, V'yachloku nami da'amaran l'demei. The Gemara says, every time we're saying yachloku, we mean demei. We don't mean physically splitting the item. D'ilo tema hachi, shayim ochzim betalas, hachi nami da'palka, haf sedua. So the Gemara says, look, meaning, we could have made this point on day one. Okay, we're on day eight. It doesn't matter. We'll still make the point. When we say that two people are holding the talis and we're splitting it, do you really think that we mean split into two? Like, aren't you ruining it by just tearing it into two? So the Gemara says, "Halo kashi dechazel katanim." Gemara, as we turn to the top of Ches Amud Aleph, Gemara says, "I don't know. It wasn't such a crazy suggestion. Meaning, it could very well be that we're going. I have a small child. You have a small child. So if we split into two and physically tear into two, so maybe, yeah, maybe both of us will be happy. We have now garments for our little kids. V'hadam Ravi Maisa Talas Musev Chokim Hachinami De Pagile Have to do Alokashi De Chazel Bleil Bnei Melachim. Now that Talas with the strip of gold running right through it. Remember, we said that we have to split it evenly. So what do you want to tell me over there? Even if we split it evenly, did you really think we're going to be tearing it into two? Like, did you really think that? And again, the Gemara pushes back. The Gemara says, yeah, maybe I did think that. And maybe over here, B'nai Malachim, meaning who's going to have use for half of a talus with a strip of gold running through it? Well, if I'm a king and I have a son, so it's normal for him to walk around with a golden talus on him. Okay. So again, this is the Gemara just being... I want to be careful about how I say this. I'm trying to be careful. The Gemara is just being a little bit difficult. Meaning that the din is Yachloku does mean Damim. It does mean that we're going to be splitting value. It doesn't mean that we're physically tearing it into two. It's just that the Gemara is looking for the Raya. What about the din of the Talus? It's not such a great Raya. What about the din of the Talus with the gold? Again, it's not the best Raya. We're looking for the best Raya. It's pretty typical for the Gemara. Okay, what about in that last case of the Mishnah on Daf Beis? So we're riding on the animal, and what are we going to do? We're going to physically split the animal. Now, afsedua bishlama tahora chazi alabasa ella tamei ha afsedua ella tamei hakanam ella tamei. Oh, look, if it's a kosher animal, okay, so it means that we're going to shech the animal, and I'll take half the meat, and you'll take half the meat. But if it's not a kosher animal, so now cutting it into two. Literally, you're taking it and you're reducing it to almost no value. And that's not zero value, by the way. Even a non-kosher animal, you could sell it to a guy. It's mutar bahana, but it can't be. It can't be that we're going to take an animal that's alive and has tremendous utility and tremendous value, and then the din is that you're physically going to split into two. That can't be. Can't be. So the Gemara says a little demay. Okay, this is the raya. It's an excellent raya. Okay, adkan. So far this morning, so choshishin lepiron, maybe machlokas tonight, okay, and that's it. And in the event that the note was lost and found by a third party, and who do I return it to? Do I return to the malva? Do I return to the lova? Do I return it to neither? Good machlokas tonight. So yesterday finished it today. That was part one of today's daf. Part two, we're holding on to the shtar, and I'm holding a portion. You're holding a portion. So we split the shtar. We don't physically tear it into two, but in other words, we split its face value. What if I'm holding the turf and you're holding the toe face? So that turf is more valuable because the turf has got the date. The date creates a lien, and therefore I get more. Good. We did that as well this morning. And finally, every time we said the word cholkim back in the Mishnah on Daf Beis, we meant l'demei. So far, so good. Those are all the points that we've uncovered. We're on Chesam at Aleph. We are about 8-9 lines from the top of the Amud, and now we start with a pretty tough sugya. Okay, it's a really interesting one, but it's a little bit on the tough side. Okay, we're picking up the talus. So far, so good. Now, I know we go into court, and I know I'm claiming the whole thing is mine, and I know you're claiming the whole thing is yours. Okay, I'm going to ask everyone to do me a favor, small favor, and that is ignore the claims. Okay, I know it's hard to ignore it, but just ignore the claims. What's going to end up happening? What's ending up happening now is that the portion that I'm holding is for sure going to be mine, as we already established. The portion you're holding is for sure going to be yours. What about the unheld portion? We're splitting it. Good. So that means now that when we picked it up, so we were Kona. Okay. Now, if I pick up something all by myself and it belong to nobody, or it belonged to somebody, either way, but let's talk about where it belonged to nobody. So I'm Kona. How? Because of the kinyan that I did. I did a hagba, and therefore I was kona on my behalf. Can I pick up an item and be kona on behalf of somebody else? So you don't have to wait that long. You just have to wait 3 short days. And daf yudim ba mitzia. So this is kona l'chavero b'makum shechav la'acherim. If when I go ahead and be kona on behalf of somebody else, but by doing so, I'm preventing other people from getting it, that now becomes problematic. You can't do that. In other words, and I know I stepped in this before, and I'll step in it again, but it's fine. In other words, debt collectors, okay? debt collectors who are not collecting debt on their behalf, but collecting debt on behalf of somebody else. So now they are kona lechavero b'makom shechav la'acherim, meaning the person they're collecting debt from, so it could very well be that they owe debt to others as well. So in other words, again, the actual lender himself absolutely has every right to go ahead and to collect on their behalf. But in other words, but if you have a third-party debt collector, so that is kona lechaver b'makom shechav la'acherim, meaning you're not collecting debt for yourself, you're collecting on behalf of somebody else, preventing other lenders from getting their money. The Gemara in Daf Yudim Bab Metzia, again, we're getting there just shortly enough, says you can't do that. So over here now, here's the struggle. And I know I'm going a little bit slower right now, but this is, if I present the challenge well, so then the sugya is going to go a lot easier. So now when we're picking up the item, again, I'm not talking about the unheld portion. I'm sorry, I'm not talking about the held portion. Whatever you're physically holding is yours. Whatever you're physically holding is yours. Good. I'm talking about that middle section that's unheld. So I know that I'm going to be getting half and you're going to be getting half. How did you acquire your half? I aided and abetted and assisted in picking it up. So I was instrumental in the kinyan you're making on the unheld portion, on your half of the unheld portion. How does that work? That's what we're going to be discussing. We're going to be discussing how can I make a kinyan helping you be konan item for you. Okay? Let's now begin. Amarami bar chama zoso meres. So now, as you go over the Mishnah and you give analysis of the Mishnah, which is what we just did over here. So zoso meres magbia matzil chavero kana chavero. Oh, so I'll tell you how it works. And that is that I picked it up on your behalf. Now, again, I know, by the way, the elephant in the room is, yeah, but that's not the claim. The claim in the Mishnah was, the whole thing belongs to me. So what I'm asking everyone to do as a personal favor, ignore the claim. Okay. It's not a small thing to do, but just ignore it for the purpose of this discussion. And so now, and by the way, what I'm asking you to do, I'm in good company. Rashi asked you to do the same thing over here as well. Rashi, right at the beginning of the sugya, says, ignore the claim. Okay. The Gemara is not going to ignore it later, but right now, just ignore it. So, how did you get your half? Because I acquired on your behalf. And the Gemara immediately is going to react to that. Meaning, I could do that? Rami Bar Chama says you could do that. Magbiyam Mitzil L'Chavero Kana Chavero. Isa Gedach Lo Kana Chavero Te'asa Kimi Shemunach Zaga Bekarka Zu, sorry. Kimi Shemunach Zaga Bekarka Vizu Kimi Shemunach Zaga Bekarka V'lo yikna lo lezeh v'lo lezeh. Lav shmami na mitzilch, magbiyam mitzilch chavero kana chavero. It must be that I went ahead and picked it up on your behalf. That's how you acquired it. And you picked up my half on my behalf, and you acquired on my behalf. I'm a Rava. Now this statement of Rami Bar Chama, again, is subject to tremendous controversy. Because again, for you to pick up something and acquire it on your own behalf, more power to you. Of course you could do that. But for you to pick something and acquire it on my behalf, when you are now preventing other people from gaining access to it, that is kona lechaver b'makom shechav la'acherim. That's controversial. So what Rami Bar Chama is saying over here is controversial. Am Rava lo lameim lecha magbiya mitzil lechaver lo kana chaveru. So Rava will tell you, I disagree with your basic premise. You are fundamentally wrong, says Rava. You can't acquire an item on behalf of somebody else. The operating principle over here, says Rava, is the following, and that is we have a migu. Now, migu is used in many places in Shas to say many different things. Here, migu is saying the following, and that is that the unheld portion, 50 is going to go to me, 50 is going to go to you. Because 50 of it is going to go to me, therefore I'm able to be kona the other 50 for you. That's how it's working over here. Not that I'm able to pick up the second 50% and acquire it on your behalf. No, that's not how it's working. But rather the methodology, the structure of how it's working, the operating principle is migu. Since I am acquiring half of it for me, I'm therefore able to acquire the second half for you. That's how it's working, and that's the only way it's working. Teda. And just give me one more moment. Let's just finish this thought, and then I'll pause. Teda. Now, Let's start off with some basic information, and that is, hey, do me a favor. Could you go steal that for me? And you do so. So who's the ganav? Am I the ganav, the one who asked, instructed? No, of course not. In other words, of course not. In other words, the ganav is the ganav. Okay. He might have gotten inspired by me. Okay, but in other words, he's a ganav. We all know that. But let's say now we're a team. Now, I say we're a team. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that we have a perfect agreement over here, is that you're going to steal on our behalf, and we're going to split the profits. And the next day, I'll go out. In other words, it's a partnership. It's a total partnership. We're splitting the profits over here. Admittedly, ill-gotten profits, but profits nevertheless. So over here, chayavim. So these two now are going to be chayav. In other words, when we're now partners, it's not shlichus, it's partnership. And so therefore, we're both going to be chayav. We're both going to have the liability of having to return the item in the event that we're caught with the item. Both of us now are going to be responsible for kefal, et cetera, et cetera. Now, my time, Allah, Mishum Darmin, Amigo de Zachlan, Ashay Zachlan, Alam, and Chavre. Now, Rava says, now, how's that working? Meaning, we're partnerships. That's great. Who picked up the item? One of the two. How are you acquiring on behalf of your partner? Migo de Zachlan, Ashay Zachlan, Alam, and Chavre. It's this principle, Amigo, that's operating it. Okay. So, we are right now in the middle of a really basic machlokas between Rami Bar Chama and Rava in terms of, can you acquire on behalf of somebody else? Rami Bar Chama says, yes. And Rava says unequivocally no. I, the Talis, the partnership of Ganavim, it's operating through this principle of Migu. Alan, go ahead.
So I was just thinking in our Mishnah that you have to swear that you only own at least half.
Again, you're now holding by the claims.
Ignore. No, I'm just saying from the point of view that if you are holding half and you kone for the other half to the other guy, that's why you only swear you own half, because you can't be kone for the other guy.
No, again, you're making it too complicated. It's already complicated,
Don't make it more complicated.
Okay. In other words, what the Gemara is just simply the analysis over here is that that unheld portion, which half of it's going to go to me, half of it's going to go to you. How was the acquisition made? This is strictly a Kenyan discussion. In other words, if there was one person picking it up, the answer is simple. I was calling on my behalf. That's easy. But how am I kona on your behalf? And by the way, going on simultaneously is that you're being kona my half to me. So how's that working? What is the operating principle that allows the second half to be nikneh for the other person? So Rami Bar Chama says, and again, that's a chiddush and controversial. What do you mean? How does it work? It works. I can pick up something on behalf of somebody else.
How do you pass it?
Which one? moving so fast. Give me a moment. Give me a moment. Let the sugya go out. I'll hopefully answer your question. I hope so. So we have a very basic machlokas. Rami Bar Chama says I can acquire on behalf of others, and Rava says of course you can't. No, and Rava says that the only thing you could do is use the principle of migu. Migu tells me that in the act, if I'm acquiring on my behalf, then and only then can I acquire on behalf of others. Now, Amar Rav Hasha Damar Amin Amigu Cheresh Pikeach Igbia Mitzia. So Mitoch Shechana Cheresh Kana Pikeach. So now let's say we have the following, and that is Ava Pikeach and a Cheresh. Cheresh obviously does not have das, and therefore in general cannot make kinyanim in a Torah. So they pick up an item, they pick up a Mitzia. So because Mitoch Shechana Cheresh Kana Pikeach. So now what we have is that since the cheresh is going to be kona, the pikech is going to be kona. Bishlama cheresh kona deka magbelei ben das ela pikech by my kona. So the Gemara says, now how is this working? Meaning that I understand the cheresh is going to be kona because the pikech is kona. The pikech has this principle of migu, but how is the pikech going to be kona? So ela ema cheresh kona pikech lo kona. So the Gemara says, okay. So your question is so strong. So I'll say that the cheresh is kona. The pikech is not kona. So my migu, dishnei charashim ba'alma kani hai namikani. So the Gemara says, oh, the migu could be used in the principle of two charashim picking it up. When two charashim pick it up, so since one acquires on their behalf, they acquired also on the friend's behalf as well. Hai mai, the Gemara says, wait 1 second. The argument over here needs more explanation. Imtim salamar magbi amitzila chavero kana chavero. Hani milehecha dekana magbe. Hani milehecha dekana magbele. I daite de chavere. Haya daiti didei kamagbelei iulokane. La'achrine makne. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. In other words, if we're going to be using the principle of migu, and we're talking about two charashim, so the cherish didn't acquire it in his own behalf. How do you acquire it in somebody else's behalf? Ela ema mitoch shelo kana pikeach, lo kana cheresh. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we're going to say is that in the case where a cheresh and a pikeach pick up an item, neither are kone. V'chitem amayishna mishnei charashim da'am. The Gemara says, okay. Now what about shnei charashim? So ha'asim takin l'rabban de lo asil insuye. Ha'cha me'mar amar pikeach lo kane ane ikne. So the Gemara says, so when two charashim pick up an item, so that is a rabbinic institution that they're going to acquire. Why? So that they don't end up fighting. Meaning min ha'Torah, neither of them can acquire, but the chachamim were misakin, so that they don't fight, that they're going to both get an acquisition. However, here in the case of a pikeach and a cheresh, so what cannot happen is that the cheresh can't acquire for the pikeach. The cheresh doesn't have das, he can't acquire for himself, min ha'Torah, he does not have the migu, and therefore the pikeach does not acquire. And because the pikeach doesn't acquire, the cheresh is also not going to acquire as well. I have to admit that the conclusion of that is, that was a tricky section of today's daf. Anyway, so we are right now holding by. When we pick up, the unheld portion is going to be split. I get half, you get half. How are you getting half? Because I'm acquiring it on your behalf, at least according to Rami Bar Chama. Rava says that's not how it's working. The way it works is because I'm acquiring my half, Therefore, I'm able to acquire the second half on your behalf. The Gemara says, great. And how do we see all that? From the Mishnah. The Gemara says, you saw that from the Mishnah? Are you not reading the Mishnah? And so now, the Gemara is going to introduce what is the obvious problem, the elephant in the room, and that is, none of that is happening. In the Mishnah, we're picking up an item, and my claim is the whole thing belongs to me. What are you talking about? So Amale Rav Achabre de Rav Adel Rav Ashi Diyuk de Rami Bar Chama Mehecha. Where did Rami Bar Chama get all that from the Mishnah? So Inei Memreisha Shaim Ochsim Betalis Hasam Hai Kamar Kula Shalivana Agbasa Kula Vahai Amar Kula Shalivana Agbasa Kula. You got to be kidding me! In the Mishnah, each one of them is claiming the whole thing belongs to them. I'm not looking to help you. You're not looking to help me. So could you please not do that with the Mishnah? So Elamei Hadiktani, Zamar Kula Shali, Vizamar Kula Shali. Hasulamali, Elamei Mishnah Yaseira. Diyak of Rami Bar Chama comes from the verbose language of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Shema Mina, Magbiya Mesila Chaver, Kana Chaver, Vahau Kimna. The Gemara says, yeah, but we already dealt with that on day one of the Masechta. So Reisha B'mitzia V'Seifa B'mekha Chomemkar. So right in the beginning of the Masechta, we said right away, the language of the Mishnah is strange, right? So we already said, yes, it is strange, because the Mishnah is dealing with two cases, one of Mitzia and the other one of Mekach HaMemkar. So we already know why the Mishnah has extra language. So again, Rami Bar Chama, where are you getting your halacha from? So Alami Seifa, Zamar Kula Shali, Vizamar Chetzir Shali, Alam Ali, Alami Mishnah Yisera, Shema Minam, Magbiya Mitzir Chaver, Kana Chaver. Oh, he gets it from the next case of the Mishnah, which is superfluous. The Gemara says that next case in the Mishnah is not superfluous. What are you talking about? The Gemara says, in the case of where one claims the whole thing is mine, the other one claims half of it's mine. So I might have thought as follows, meaning had the Mishnah gotten over that scenario, here's what I would have thought. That second person, he's not claiming the whole thing. He's only claiming half of it. You know what? Sounds like he's telling the truth. Meaning, if he just wanted to be difficult and he wanted to be a bit of a chazer, he would say that the whole thing belongs to him. But he's not saying the whole thing. He's only saying half. You know what? Maybe let him keep it and he won't have to make a shvua. That's what I would have thought. The lifter. And I would have thought that he should be putter from having to make a shvua. So kamash malan ha'irum ekam areim savar amina kula shali beina shtabue emahachi dehavik hamesha vavei davi pater. In other words, we're all playing checkers and he's playing chess. In other words, he knows that if he goes in with a claim that the whole thing belongs to me, countering the other person's claim, so now he knows, oh, they're just going to have me make a shvua. I'd rather not. You know what I'll do? I'll modify. I'll go in there and I'll say, half of it belongs to me, And now when I say half of it belongs to me, maybe what I'm going to do is get away with not having to make a shvua.
Maybe you still have to make sure you get
it. But exactly the point. Meaning that we anticipate that that's his thought process. So in other words, he's playing chess. We're going to have to counter with our chess move. In other words, we're anticipating that that's his thought process. And therefore, he's not going to be potter from a shvua. And that's why I need that case in the Mishnah. So, okay, good. Two people riding an animal. The Gemara says, okay, but I'm not telling you that that case is superfluous. I would tell you that the Mishnah is teaching me a great chiddush, and that is rochev. Riding an animal creates a kingin. So, elami seifa bizman shayimodim o sheyesh lamedim chokim below shvua. So, b'may. So maybe it's from that last section of the Mishnah, the section that starts with the words bizman. When they admit, or they're edim, so then chokim below shvuah. So that's obvious. So what is the Mishnah coming to teach me? Meaning it's an obvious point and it's a superfluous point. So Rami Bar Chama says, it's there. That was a lot of trial and error. Where did Rami Bar Chama see his halacha? And we went through four different sections of the Mishnah, and that's four strikes, meaning it's not, because there was not a single superfluous point of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, you're right. So we went with a fifth attempt, that last line of the Mishnah. That's where Rami Bar Chama generates the halacha from. And then Rava gets the last word, and now this may help. And Rava Amar Lecha, Migo Dezachinav Shezachinam Lechave. Rami Bar Chama, you may be right. The fifth point of the Mishnah, the fifth line of the Mishnah may be superfluous. But your analysis is wrong. Meaning, how are both of us acquiring? Right? In other words, we're in agreement. We're not fighting. We're not arguing with one another. We picked up the item. So how did you acquire your half? How did I acquire my half? It's not because I acquired it on your behalf. The right, Rami Bar Chama, you're wrong about that. You can't do that. How does it work? It operates through the principle of migu. Meaning, because I'm acquiring my half, now I have the ability to take the second half and apportion it over to you. That's the way it works. That's the structure in which it works. Okay. We have over here in our Gemara, in the first part of today's daf, a very fundamental machlokus between Rami Bar Chama and Rava in terms of how the operating principle is that when we pick up an item, so how did you get your portion? How was I able to acquire your portion to you? How does that work? So Rami Bar Chama says it works simply via, I could do that. And Rava says, no, under normal circumstances, you can't. And again, the svara behind Rava is that you're a chav l'chavero, you are a zoch l'chavero, but makom shechav l'acherim. Because you can acquire on your behalf, but to acquire on somebody else's half and preventing others from gaining access to it, that you're not allowed to do. That's the Gemara in Daf Yud. By the way, that's a generally accepted viewpoint.
So the splitting of the talus is not because of the kumna, it's because of the suffix of ownership. Right? So it's not because of the kinyan that was made, it's because of there's a suffix on who really owns it. Is that accurate?
The Gemara's discussion that we just had is just a question of how does the kinyan. How does the kinyan work? That's all we've been discussing now. Meaning the fact that split is because we have disputants. In other words, two people are arguing it and each one is holding
that's
a section.
But
it's more than a suffix. In other words, each one of them has a holding on it. Our discussion today is just simply, how did the kinyan work? That's all we were discussing today. Because, why did the Gemara just spend a full amma discussing it? Because I can be kona on my behalf, but how can I be kona on your behalf? How does that work? Rami Bar Chama says it simply works. And Rava says, no, it can't be.
You could be kona on somebody's behalf, but when you sell your chametz, when you make a kinyan, my partner and I have...
I'm authorizing, when I go to the rabbi, what I'm authorizing him to do is to sell my chametz.
But you're making a kinyan, and if it's for somebody else also...
No. Alan, let's do that again. Okay? Yeah, I'm trying. Okay? I'm authorizing him to sell my chametz.
Right.
That's it.
But the authorization is the kinyan itself, no?
And, okay, I'm making a kinyan in order to authorize him as my shliach, but he's my agent.
But if you and I are partners, and I go to the rabbi. You can sell it for somebody else. The Kenyan is all right. Never mind.
Okay, good. Ask me right next. Hayishnaim rochvim. There we go. Hayishnaim rochvim. I'm Rav Yosef. I'm really Rav Yehuda. Shamas minei de marshmol tarte. Okay, so Rav Yosef says the following. Here's what I heard from Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda was a student of Shmuel. And he said, I heard two things from Shmuel. We're on the top of the Amud Beis. And I heard a halacha regarding Rachov. I heard a halacha regarding Manhig. Chad kani v'chad lo kani. In one occasion, meaning I'm trying to make an acquisition of the animal. So riding an animal, leading an animal. In one case, you're Konan. The other case, you're not Konan. V'lo yadana haminayu. Okay, now here's the problem, and that is I got the puzzle pieces. I don't know which one fits to which. When are you Kona, when are you not Kona? One of them you are, and one of them you aren't. Okay, so, help. Hechidami. Ilema rachav l'chudeh manig l'chudeh. The Gemara says, now what are you talking about? Just riding, just leading. Manig l'chudeh mika mandam lo kani. In other words, if you're leading an animal, that is absolutely a kinyan. That is a method of kinyan. So, ela iika l'memar d'lo kani rachav hudika l'memar. So, Manig, we have no dispute. You're for sure going to be Kona. Rachov, that must be, it's the only one that we can even entertain that you're not Kona. So now, if our analysis is correct, so now basically the Gemara's curiosity is on, hey, Rav Yehuda, like, how did you not know that? Meaning, you're in doubt. How could you possibly be in doubt? There must be something else going on over here where you're struggling. So, Ela Rachav b'makom manigi ba'ilei, my Rachav adiv da tafis ba'u, delma manig adiv, da'azle mechamte, or machmase. So, it must be that the following is happening over here, and that is that it's one animal, two people, one person's riding it, the other person's leading it, and each one making the claim, kula shali, and now, who has a more dominant dominant approach. Who has a more dominant claim? In other words, so it is now not one it's not Manig individual or Rachav individual. It's now I have competing kinyanim on one animal. So the Gemara says, well, on one hand, the Rachav is better because he's physically riding on the animal. On the other hand, the Manig, he's leading the animal. So I'm Rav Yosef, I'm really Rav Yehuda, next day Anan did none. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll show you Mishnah and Kalayim. Don't we all know the Mishnah and Kalayim? Okay, whatever. I'll beat myself up later. So Amanik, Sofek is Arbaim, Vyosha Bekarim, Sofek is Arbaim. So you know that if you take two animals and lead them together and they're not the same animal, they're two different animals, that is a violation of Kalayim. Working two animals together is Kalayim. A form of Kalayim, right? There are five different categories of Kalayim. Anyway, So that's Kalayim, good. But more than that, in other words, let's say the two animals are pulling a wagon and I'm sitting in the wagon. So is that also Kalayim? Yes, it is. In both of those cases, Sofek is Arbaim. Rabbi Meir Poter says Yoshe Bekarim. Now, as far as sitting in the wagon, Rabbi Meir says that no. You're just enjoying a ride of the two. That's not leading the two. And therefore, Rabbi Meir says you're not going to get Malkus. But wait, we're not done yet. Now, whenever Shmuel teaches that Mishnah and Kalayim, what Shmuel makes it his business to do is, you got the positions mixed up. It's Rabbi Meir who says that you're getting Malkus. It's the Chachamim saying you're not going to get Malkus if you're just riding on the wagon. And the reason why Shmuel does this is because we know that when the way you set up the Mishnah is going to be the Halacha. According to Shmuel, the Halacha is riding on the wagon is not it's not leading the animals. All you're doing is just simply benefiting from the force generated by it. You're getting a ride, but you're not leading the animals. It's not a violation of Kalayim. So in other words, it's clear from Shmuel, the way he constructed that Mishnah and Kalayim, the way that he reworded it, it's clear that Shmuel's of the position that Rachav is not bailus. It's not a demonstration of ownership. It's nothing. It's passive. So, if that's true now, so let me get this straight. I got one person leading the animal, one person riding on the back of the animal, same animal, and you're asking me now who's the owner, each one claiming it's theirs. Meaning, after learning the Mishnah, after hearing how Shmuel commented on that Mishnah, Like, isn't this now a no-brainer? Of course it's a no-brainer. In other words, the money. Shamalei by the Rav Yosef Azimnu Segin Amart La Nechzi Anan. You know, that's so funny. I heard you commenting on this so many times. V'lamart La Mishmei de Rav Yehuda. And you know, first time I'm hearing you say, oh, by the way, I heard this from Rav Yehuda. Meaning, you left out an important detail, right? As we're approaching Purim, Kola Omer, B'Shem Omro, Mevis Ege'ula. So over here, like in other words, you've been quoting this time and again, Shmuel, 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 and now finally I get a detail, oh, this is coming via Rev Yehuda. Okay, gave a muster on that. So Amalei Ibra, Udechino Nami Da Amalei, Hechi Pashamar, Rachel, I'm sorry, let's pause over here, good. So fine. So he left out Rav Yehuda the first time he reintroduced Rav Yehuda. And the Gemara says, oh, by the way, you reminded me of another point, but we'll get to this next point tomorrow. Okay, three major topics that we discussed today. One, we talked about two people holding on to a shtar, a lender and borrower. And under those circumstances now, how are we going to split the shtar? We'll split it down the middle. But of course, not physically split it, but split its value between the two parties. And there's going to be a circumstance where one's going to get more than 50%, i.e. where he's holding on to the Tarif. The Tarif has got the date creates a lien, that creates more value of the shtar. Good. That was point number one of today's daf. And oh, by the way, included in point number one is every single time we said cholkin, that's what we meant. Back in the Mishnah, a talis, we're not going to divide the talis into two parts. It means that the talis now is going to be split value-wise. Good. That was number one. Our next big discussion today's daf covering the entirety of Ches Amud Aleph is going to be that the unheld portion, so I'm acquiring half of it for me and half of it for you. How do I acquire half of it for you? We have a machlokus, major machlokus between Rami Bar Chama and Rava in terms of how that works. Rami Bar Chama says it works and Rava says no. It only works via this principle of migu. That was the Amud Aleph. And on the Amud Beis, which we started with, is I have two people vying kinyanim on an animal. One is riding the animal. The other one is leading the animal. Which is superior? The one leading the animal.